Blog Talk Radio.
What difference if I hail from north or south, or from the east or west? My heart is filled with love for all of these. I only know I swell with pride and deep within my breast I thrill to see, O glory faint, the breeze. This is my country, land of my birth. This is my country, grandest on earth. I pledge my allegiance, America, the bold, for this is my country to have and to hold.
Hello everyone, this is Peter Paul Brazola on Thanksgiving Eve. I don't know, well, we do have much to be thankful for, those of us who have a roof over our head, gas in our tank, beer, wine in our glass, food on our table, clothes on our back, and still the ability to travel where we want, even though we're people who are going to the airport. And I hear this is also going to happen on the trains and maybe the buses, what I would call stroke, grope, and grab. And we'll be coming up, we'll be offering, just found this in our archives, a clip from the French Army and how they dealt with terrorists back 50 years ago and how they handled Arab women. Excuse me. And I think the Vietnamese, when it was French Indochina and the French War, the French were still trying to maintain it as a colony. Be interesting to see. Nobody has mentioned in our media, as far as I know, how women, Muslim women and converts, Arab Americans who do convert to Islam, and they were in the, what is that, the Shadur, and if they're being stroked, groped, and patted down, like the Roman Catholic nuns are being subjected to, I haven't heard anything about that, and that issue ought to be brought up. I assume these people are traveling and they have a right to travel as long as they're not terrorists or are supporting terrorism or subversion in of this country. Today we featured, were there Jews or people of Jewish ancestry in Hitler's army? Apparently it's a much bigger untouched subject than I originally thought. Today is the birthday of one of the great German field marshals, Erich von Manstein. And he was primarily on the Eastern Front. He was a brilliant tactician. He also, his son was also in the Wehrmacht. And they both served on the Russian front when General von Paulus, who was Catholic, incidentally, was stuck in with the Sixth Army in Stalingrad. And he refused to break out, and that gave the opportunity of Marshal Zhukov and five Russian armies to surround Stalingrad and just pound him into submission. Well, Erich von Manstein was sent up with his army and the Panzer Corps to try to break through the Russian lines to give von Paulus an out, to be able to break out. Unfortunately, von Manstein failed, was unable to do that, and so von Paulus and over 100,000 German soldiers, young German soldiers and officers, were surrendered and captured and marched off into captivity in Russia. Von Paulus was held in a house in Moscow. He was treated differently, and after, I think, 15 years, he was freed, but was sent to East Germany, where he died. There's a famous movie which I will bring up later and up on our Amicus Veritas YouTube site, which we do have historical films in the Verzola Carson archives. We're cataloging stuff and trying to get things more organized, since we have cassette tapes, video tapes, audio tapes, VHS tapes, a lot of historical material and interviews which have been featured on this show and on YouTube. Anyway, von Manstein is a fascinating character. He was treated as a war criminal after World War II. He got into fights with Hitler, and a lot of the generals did. But this is what's interesting. His name, he was adopted by an uncle who was a convert, a reconvert to Judaism. And that uncle is buried in the Jewish cemetery, buried in January 17, 1944, in the Jewish cemetery in Germany. But Erich von Manstein was one of 10 children. His father and grandfather were Prussian generals, but he was born Lewinsky, which is a Polish name from a village, from an area of Poland, Pomerania. And there was a lot of this, much more, many more German officers and soldiers and possibly sailors who had Jewish backgrounds or Jewish ancestry, even though they didn't practice. Now, as a Lewinsky, he had an uncle who was a convert to Judaism, or reconvert. He may have been Jewish and then converted, like the Moriscos did in Spain, to avoid the Inquisition in Spain and Portugal. But this uncle, Manstein, had no children. So they adopted Erich Lewinsky, and he became von Manstein. And he rose through the rank, became a brilliant field marshal. As I said, he had a son. We don't know anything about Manstein's mother, or Lewinsky's mother. I have been unable to find out whether she had any Jewish ancestry, which, as I understand Judaism, the ancestry comes from the maternal line, the mother. Manstein, knew about the – he got fired by Hitler. A lot of people did. Rommel did also. And he was around about July 1944. He knew the plotters, von Stauffenberg, von Witzleben, who was a general, Stauffenberg, Count von Stauffenberg, who was Catholic, who were plotting to kill Hitler, but he didn't turn them in, and he didn't participate. However, in 1949, he was tried, von Manstein was tried as a war criminal. His son had been killed on the Russian front, I believe, and he had one son. And he was sentenced to 12 years in prison, 18 years. It was reduced to 12. He served four. After he got out of prison, like a lot of German Wehrmacht soldiers and sailors who were accused of war crimes or were tried as war criminals, they were advisors to the West German government of Konrad Adenauer, who was an anti-Nazi and anti-communist. And then Manstein died, I think, in 1973 of a heart attack. Fascinating general. He did write a book, like a lot of them did, and among his compatriots were Rommel, Guderian. Now, there was another German, this was a Luftwaffe field marshal, Eduard Milch, M-I-L-C-H. Apparently, he had Jewish ancestry, and Hitler just ignored it. Of course, Hitler had it in his own background. Now, the question is, how many more? Now, there was a half-Jewish mayor of Berlin who had served in the Wehrmacht, and they were called Mischlings. And this is a fascinating story. There's a book that's out. I just learned of it, and we will get into more of this in a future program. This is a breaking news. Apparently, the left-wing, lavender-left Democratic Party in California has swept all of the executive offices in the state. Jerry Brown, we have Newsom, and then Steve Cooley, the Republican district attorney of Los Angeles County, who ran on the Republican ticket for state attorney general, has the news is that he has conceded to Kamala Harris, who has embraced the lesbian, gay, NAMBLA agenda here in San Francisco in the San Francisco District Attorney's Office. And so, you know, this is going to be interesting to see what happens. The last time a San Franciscan, now Jerry Brown was born in San Francisco, as was his father, Pat Brown, who was governor. Last time a San Franciscan was elected governor of California was back in the 30s, a guy named Sonny Jim Rolfe, a big fat slob. There was a photo of him with his fat behind with a bunch of fighting cops in the penthouse of the St. Francis Hotel. I have the photo someplace. I'll try to find it. It's in the archive and we're kind of catalog stuff. But he fortunately died in office. He was one of the longest serving mayors before we had two terms, and that's it. We ought to have that on the governor's label because Jerry Brown has come back for the third time. This is the first time this has happened in California's gubernatorial history. So all of the executive officers, Lockyer, who William Lockyer, who is I think state treasurer, he's a Democrat. The controllers, I believe, is a Democrat. The state secretary of state, Bowen, is a Democrat. And I think the controller is. I may be wrong on that. And we're not sure about the superintendent of schools. Interestingly, in California, the superintendent of schools, two of them were very controversial, and one of them was drunk and died in a ditch. And this was during the 60s. But they're generally pretty controversial people. So we're going to see what happens. The state of California has been issuing bonds, municipal bonds, and they're trying to get people to buy them, but so far no takers because they're viewed as junk bonds. And the state is in a horrible mess. It's going to get worse. And we expect the gay, lesbian agenda to be promoted at the highest levels of this the state of California. So it's crotch politics all over. It's sad. But we think that a lot of this was vote fraud, and having worked, seen vote fraud back east, witnessing it, and having exposed it here in Northern California, we believe this is what happened in this election and the prior election where Al Gore was running against Bush Jr. What's interesting also is we're in a cold snap, and nobody knows where Al Gore is. We could use some global warming. It's also interesting that he still has Secret Service protection. It's interesting that Nixon declined it. But I understand, we don't know about George Bush Jr., but Bill Clinton has it, and he's made a lot of money since he left office, so he doesn't need this Secret Service protection. But Al Gore had it, and in his penthouse in downtown San Francisco at 3rd and Mission, he has this huge hot tub. Uses a lot of electricity to keep it going and energy, and it ain't green. And the only green is being made by Pacific Gas and Electric, which is the utility company out here. Also, I noticed this on the streets, and we'll bring it up on our Amicus Veritas, AmicusVeritas YouTube site. Building or constructing installing special meters in water meters throughout the entire city of San Francisco. And that's going to be centrally monitored every 6 hours. I, by chance, briefly interviewed the guy, and I said, well, who's paying for this, and is it accurate? So the fear is that we are moving toward what Communist East Germany did, where they were able to monitor everything that their citizens did, including the citizens who were suspected of espionage or subversion or political incorrectness. They monitored what went out of their toilets. And this is the fear. I understand, according to one of the installers, that this whole system has been installed in Kansas City, Kansas. I'll find out because Jack Cashel lives there, the famous author. You should get his book, What's the Matter with California, because it's going to be more relevant than ever now. And you'll understand the craziness. The Lavender Left, the people who have come from back east. And one of the big political falsehoods is that Nancy D'Alessandro Pelosi, is a San Franciscan. She's not. She was born in Baltimore. Her father was mayor and also a U.S. Congressional representative. A lot of controversy. I understand her brothers can't stand her. A lot of people can't stand her. And it's interesting, even the left in San Francisco, until this last election when they embraced her, considered her Lucretia Borgia or Mar Barker or Cody Jarrett's mother. All her arrogance and her attitude and the connection to the biggest drug scandal in Hayward, in California. That was a warehouse in Hayward, California, back in 1990, where $1 billion worth of heroin was found in some vases that were exported from Bangkok. And the DEA informant was horribly tortured. They discovered the people pushing the heroin discovered he was an informer or DEA informant. And the case came up and was suppressed. The media suppressed it here in San Francisco, but I do have part of the court record. And the U.S. Department of Housing and Urban Development HUD official set the warehouse up. The guy's name was Chang, and it was set up in Hayward, California. And there is a TV clip which we have, and we'll put this up. And Pelosi was a real estate investor in that warehouse. But when the scandal broke, she claimed she knew nothing about it, as she always does when she's called on the carpet and embarrassed. Of course, she won't be getting the red carpet treatment, and people are fearing they don't want to be on an airplane now that she lost her plane. But with all the money that she has, I was supposed to have $20 million in assets, a real estate, a vineyard. Nobody buys her wine when they find out that she owns the vineyard. It's not bad wine, incidentally, from what I'm told, but nobody wants to enrich her further. Anyway, she can afford to pay for her own plane, and should, and some of these other congressmen and congresswomen. But and there is the fear now that the Tea Party is going to run out of steam. Traditionally, in American politics, when there is a third party, the other two parties co-opt it, and so it's rendered impotent. And this is the fear. Hopefully, it doesn't happen. One of our models is San Francisco, California, and the nation is ready for renaissance, renewal, and reform. Hopefully, we will see it in 2011. I don't expect to see it as a political realist on the state level here in California. And also, this is another fact that's been overlooked. All of the major political office holders, both U.S. Senators, Nancy Pelosi, they're all from Northern California. So Northern California, which is hated down south, and you know, Los Angeles, Long Beach, San Diego, Riverside, there was a move to try to split this state. This may surface again because and the Northern Californians are very angry every time Southern California tries to rip off Northern California's water. This is the big resource up here, and they built these this big ditch to bring Northern California water down to Southern California so they could engage in more of this rapacious real estate development. A lot of those places are in foreclosure or pre-foreclosure. There was a famous movie with Walter Houston and Jack? I'm getting old. But anyway, I'll bring it up again because all of these politics, the history of California has been oil and water, and agriculture, and the water is important to agriculture, but it all plays into the corruption in the world's ninth biggest economy. That's what's interesting about this state. There's a lot of good people here who have emigrated or fled other parts of the world, from back east, from down south, from Canada, from South America. From Asia, they've come here to contribute, not to co-opt and corrupt. And unfortunately, that's what we have in the Democratic Party, the radical left, the Lavender Left is what we call it. And they don't look like they're reforming. And the big winner in this, and nobody's brought this up so far, is Willie Brown. He always wanted to be governor. He came from Texas. He should be grateful. He was the target of racism. He was shining shoes in a bar, and the guy took his 50 cents piece, that was or a dollar, silver dollar, and threw it into a spittoon. And Willie Brown was furious, and that motivated him to move from Mineola, Texas, to San Francisco, where he had an uncle who was something of an operator. But had not that incident happened, Willie Brown may still have been, still be in Texas, the Texas legislature, or even the governor's mansion, or even on a prison farm, where a lot of people who think about what he has done in Sacramento think he belongs. But anyway, his surrogates are now controlling the state come January 2011, if there isn't a massive earthquake, which will California will fall off into the ocean, which a lot of the people who wish it would happen think it will happen eventually. Hopefully it won't. But this is what's going on, and it's a bad time for California. The economy is in the toilet. It doesn't look like it's going to get out until there's some really radical political and economic reform in this state and holding these bogus nonprofits accountable for all the millions of billions of dollars that they have gotten. Since this is the Thanksgiving and the holiday season, may I offer this suggestion to people who still have a roof over their head, a car, food on the table, clothes on their back, and they're able to pay their kids' tuition and have a job. Think about and try to help those local community organizations that don't get federal funds or foundation funds. If you can afford a turkey or some food, and give it. Look around for the ones that don't get federal money. Here in San Francisco, we have several, and in Northern California, organizations that don't get federal money, that don't look for federal money, and get clothes, food, volunteers from people who just want to help those who are needy and who need a hand up, not a hand down, which is what's been going on. And people who don't rip off the bootstraps of these organizations, but give people more than boots and put clothes on their back and food on their table and try to find a job for them if they can, and to give them comfort, verbal comfort when they can, and steer them toward the medical care that they need. Incidentally, one of my sources from back east, retired military, had some friends who came to San Francisco, so be warned. On your entertainment tab, restaurant tab, there is a surcharge for San Francisco healthcare. Unfortunately, people don't realize that AIDS is still rampant in this city and in this area because these people can't keep their mouth shut, their sleeves down, their zippers up, get into relationships that are singular and stable instead of whoring around. And this has been the long-time complaint of the gay agenda, that nobody cares who you're sleeping with as long as they're adults and you're doing it in the privacy of your apartment or your house. People are too busy trying to live their lives and trying to survive. They're not interested in poking into your bedroom or under your bed or in your closet. But this is what's happened, and people are getting tired of it. Maybe as the economy is not going to get better right away, people realize there are more important things in life than crotch politics. So that is that. Now, getting back to Field Marshal, I won't say Lewinsky, but von Manstein, it's interesting. I wonder if he was related, or the woman Lewinsky, who was involved with Bill Clinton, who said he didn't have sex with that woman or whatever, if she is a distant relative of that family, the Lewinsky family from Poland, which I understand were Polish Jews. Whether they practice or not, we don't know. It's again, to reiterate that Eric von Manstein's mother, I can't find anything on her, and that's where it would, in Orthodox Judaism, I believe, that's where the ancestry comes from. So, and throughout German history, Prussian history, there have been people of Jewish ancestry, even in the Kaiser's Imperial Army and Navy, back at the time of Frederick the Great, Friedrich der Grosse. So this is not unusual, but the Hitler thing was such hypocrisy because he had a Jewish ancestry. So it's a fascinating subject, so it's something new, and we want to keep up on that. Let's see, what else is coming up? And so on Friday, we will have our wrap-up, and it's the hour-long program, 5 to 6. And the other issue we ought to be thinking about, that we keep hearing all this fuss about, you know, to share the road with the bicyclists. That's fine. But they don't shoulder any of the responsibility and don't want to shoulder any of the responsibility. And it's also a sort of, they're supposed to obey the rules of the roads. They don't. They should be cited. It's a source of revenue that the strapped municipalities are overlooking. These bicyclists should be licensed. They should have license plates on their bicycles so they can be identified, but that deters theft. And according to the FBI, over 1.5 million bicycles are stolen every year. This requires police resources that could be better used to keeping us safe and maintaining safe streets and roads. And also these bicycles should have a red light on the back and should have a bell so to warn people when they're coming, because there's an incident that happened here the first week of November on San Francisco's Ocean Beach, where it was a warm day. A couple was walking and acknowledging that there were bicyclists on the dirt road, and this bicyclist deliberately ran into this woman, knocked her down, threw his bicycle on her, and it's on the Amicus Veritas website, a crazed bicyclist attacks a woman. And it's go to Amicus Veritas, AMICUS, VERITAS, or Google it, crazed San Francisco bicyclists. And this is what's going on. This is not an isolated incident. The bicyclists are out of control. They have attitude. They have arrogance. And people are getting tired of it. And we've had incidences where they go violate traffic laws, and when motorists complain that, you know, you're creating a safety hazard, they scratch the side of the car, try to break the mirror, and, of course, they exchange words. They try to create a traffic hazard. So, and this is going on around the country, from what I'm told. So, you know, this is not America. What Europeans are always amazed about America when they come here is the size of this country. You know, in European cities, those of us who have traveled don't realize until we get there how small those places really are. And the distances, like from Vienna to Paris, it's 750 miles. 750 miles in California would be from the northern border, Eureka, down to about Fresno, or a little bit beyond, Bakersfield. So, and that's only, in this state is nearly 1,000 miles from north to south. And England is only 900 miles from Land's End to Scapa Flow up in the Hebrides, up in the northern part of Scotland. So, and these cities were set up when they were laid out. They were for horses, carriages, and later bicycles, and then eventually the automobile. But, you know, they'd have to tear down a lot of buildings to build the superhighways that we have here in the United States. So, you know, this business about we're going to turn the country into bicyclists, it doesn't work. It's not helping transportation. These bicyclists overall, unless they're bicycle warriors, do not contribute to the economy. So we'll see you Friday. Have a happy Thanksgiving. And let's close out with, where is politics and poker? Shame on me. I'm losing my touch. But anyway, and then it'll be available on the DVDs, some interesting things about Pearl Harbor and American history that has a connection to San Francisco. So, let's see if we can get a little blurb in here. Oh, I can't find it. There's so much here. Excuse me. So tune in Friday at 5 o'clock, and also these programs are kept up on the Blog Talk Radio archive, and so you can download them and listen to them at your leisure, and hopefully it's informative, you enjoy. And also email me at Verzola, P-V-E-R-Z-O-L-A, at gmail.com. If you have comments, suggestions, or questions, we hope to have some live interviews in the very near future. So have a happy Thanksgiving, and also we'll have some tips on how to avoid hangovers that came from some diplomats that I know. And they work, surprisingly. So don't drink too much, and don't drink and drive. This is Peter Paul Verzola. Take it easy, and we will see you, or we'll be on the air, God willing, come Friday. Take care.